I'm really excited about 2014, basically because God's with us, which is amazing. And this is a church full of absolutely amazing people. Just look around the room. Look at all those gorgeous faces. Just as I look around the room, I almost kind of like jot things. I'm like, wow, he's amazing. She's amazing. They do amazing things. They're really caring. Blah, blah, blah. It's a fantastic church. Fantastic group of people. You're amazing, guys. So am I. Thank you. There we go. Did anyone see Justin Welby's talk on New Year's Day? The Archbishop of Canterbury's talk on New Year's Day. Come on, Chloe, me and you watched it. It's good Anglicans that we are. He talked to the nation, 5-minute preach. And it was really cool. And basically, he just, you know, just quoted Jesus and said, you know what, it's all about just loving God and loving people and serving the poor, basically. And I just thought it was absolutely bang on. And that, for me, that's just really encouraging, just to see that message of love just kind of being the message of the church in the nation at this time is really cool. Justin was also saying that, you know, love is the answer to all the nation's problems, basically. You know, love in finance, love in the way that we structure the budgets, love in the way that, in the paradigm that we use towards ethics, love in our communities, love in our schools. It is the answer to every single one of the nation's problems. It's just, what does love look like, basically? Mother Teresa said, I read a little Mother Teresa quote this week, which is, she goes, I'm not exactly sure what heaven will be like, but I know that when we die and it comes time for God to judge us, he will not ask, how many good things have you done in your life? Rather, he will ask, how much love did you put into what you did? And for me, that's what it's all about. It's whatever God's called us to, whether or not it's caring for our families, whether or not it's being responsible, like, you know, for the governance of a school, whether it's running a business, whether it's, you know, just whatever we're doing, it's actually, let's put the substance of love into it. And, you know, I basically just want to talk a little bit about love today, because it really is the core of our faith. I don't want to just be like a hippie Christian and be like, yeah, let's just keep loving. And, you know, what about the substance? There's real decisions to be made in life. You know, but for me, you know, when we look at the cross, when we look at the blood of Jesus, you know, what do we see? You know, do we see bitterness? Do we see envy? Do we see pride? Do we see lust for power? Do we see hierarchy? Do we see control? No, we don't. All we see when we look at Jesus is we see love. It's all we see when we look at the cross. It's what it's all about. We see humility. We see grace. We see forgiveness. We see gentleness. We see kindness. It's radical, radical love, and it's absolutely core to our faith. And I think, you know, if you ask people, if you did like a, just kind of a massive survey of the nation, and you said, what do you think of the church? I'm not sure radical love would be the first thing that comes to people's minds. I think they might say hypocrites, maybe, judging, make us feel guilty, don't want to have fun, irrelevant. You know, I don't think radical love comes to people's minds when you ask them, what do you think of the church? And that needs to change. And so I think as Christians, it's basically our job to be the most humble, loving, serving people around. Because I just wanted to say this at the beginning of kind of like, oh, this is what we're going for in 2014, you know, because I don't want us to do, you know, good works. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 is really clear. You've got the faith to move mountains. You know, you can speak with angels or in the tongues of angels. You can give all your money to the poor. You can do this, this, and this. But you don't have love, you're absolutely nothing. So, and I always like to think that, you know, when I think of metaphor for the church, I usually have two things in mind. The first thing I have in mind is basically like an army base. I think of when I think of church, the picture I have is an army base. Basically, the real battle is out there. And so my job as a church leader is to make the army base really, really good. So that when the soldiers come back in, they're like trained, they're cared for, they're healed, and then we send them out again. And it's like the strategy happens there and all that kind of stuff. But actually, it's all about empowering the kingdom to be established in our land. The battle's not in here. The ministry isn't in here. The ministry is out there on the streets, in the schools, in the workplaces, you know, in the wherever, all over the place. So that's the first picture I have. Church is an army base, which I always find quite helpful. The second picture I have of a church is basically, if you boil it right the way down, what is, you know, boil everything we down into one thing, I would call church, you ready for this? The love school. I that's what I think. I basically think church is supposed to be a love school, a place where basically we teach people how to love themselves, how to love God, and how to love other people. That's what it's about. This is my 3-point sermon. You ready? First thing we're going to do in 2014, guys, is we are going to love God. Everybody say, love God.
Love God.
Amen. Before Christmas, I was just thinking, you know, what should some of the emphasis be in 2014? And I just really felt like God say, you need to pray. You need to stop praying. Prayer is really, really key. And I started talking with Chris Nelson. I was saying, Chris, you know, in 2014, you know, would you be up for heading up some prayer initiatives? Could we do 24/7 prayer, or maybe just facilitate more and more prayer walking, or encouraging, you know, just groups to meet in the mornings or at lunchtimes or in the businesses or whatever, just to pray so that people can just get in the face of God. You know, there's something about prayer that, you know, when we actually take time out to be with God, we're not only changed. I don't know about you, but my heart goes cold a lot of the time. I feel it getting cooler, you know, just through the worries of life, just through what I see on the news, just money, materialism, all that kind of stuff. It cools my heart. You know, I find myself going from being red hot and I get cooler and cooler and cooler. And when you get in the face of God, when you pray and you worship, and for me, prayer and worship are just so intertwined. When you pray and you worship, you know, you look into his fiery eyes and it warms that cold heart. So for me, like, part of the emphasis this year, I think, is us really kind of as a community just giving ourselves to prayer. And I don't think it's just a River Church thing. I think it's a town-wide thing, because I shared this with the other church leaders. You know, we just met before Christmas, and I was saying, you know, I can't get prayer out of my head. I just feel like God's saying, pray, 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 pray. And they said, you know, Dave Bull and the guys from MCF, they were going, you know, we feel like God said exactly the same. Dave was saying, I'm scheduling in some 24/7 prayer times at All Saints on the Bridge, and the MCF guys want to do some 24/7 prayer stuff. And so there's something in that where I think, you know, as a church, let's really be intentional about doing more prayer and worship stuff. We'll do some more worship nights, but let's do some more prayer things, and we're going to do some stuff prayer-wise with the other churches, because, you know, when we pray, things happen. I was reading in Luke 3 the other day. It's about Jesus' baptism, and I never saw this before. And it goes, while he was praying, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven saying, you are my beloved son, in whom well pleased. So in the place of prayer, we receive the Holy Spirit and the Father's love. So we take time out with God, we're energized by his Spirit, but we're also encouraged by his affection towards us. From Luke 3, he's propelled into Luke 4. Stands up, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. It's the mission of God. It's our mission. It's the mission of the church. So we're a family. We're a God-focused family. But it's in the place of prayer and worship, we get propelled out into doing the stuff. That propels us. From the place of prayer, we go. So, yeah. So that's point one. Love God. I think for me, let's just continue doing what we're doing, but let's just really be intentional about loving God back this year and expect prayer. And I want to encourage you just to not just be led by initiatives that the leadership say let's do, you know, like 24/7 prayer things, but I just want to encourage you just to get with your spouses or your friends or your family or work colleagues who are Christians and say, hey, let's just pray together, let's just spend some time with God and see what God wants to say, because it's not just about us getting energized. You know, the church is the ecclesia, it's the government of God, it's to rule in the heavens. So as we pray, stuff changes as well. Jesus says, whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven, will be will be released on earth. What you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. It's like we've been given authority to speak so that angels move and do stuff. So it's not just about us, you know, getting in a good place with God so we can go. It's about like, us taking responsibility as sons and daughters who are seated in heaven with Christ, ruling and reigning with him. He says, I want you to pray about this for a reason, because then stuff happens. Because he's chosen to work with us. Prayer is not just about us hanging out with God. It's about us taking responsibility to govern in the heavenlies. Thank you. So the second thing, apart from loving God, and let's really being prayerful, is loving ourselves. We're a family. I'm not going to say much on this, but I want us to basically be doing a lot more kind of courses, like Jan's doing a course. We're going to do a money management course later in the year. Colin's going to do a 6-week deeper teaching on theology. I'd like us to maybe do a marriage course. I just really want us to be a community of just real, real health in all aspects of our kind of lives together. So I really want, you know, when people come in, or, you know, just whoever's part of us, they come in and there's loads of opportunities for them to grow and just become healthy and strong. And, we're, you know, that's it really. So expect that. For me, health is good because all healthy things grow. Whether or not you're a little sapling or you're a massive oak tree, if it's healthy, it grows. So one of the things we need to be as a church, healthy. Everyone okay? Thank you. So the last thing is, so first thing was loving God. Everybody say loving God. Love ourselves. Love people. This is the last thing. So for me, the church in the West, you know, hasn't really grown much. You know, that's why in the UK there's like, I don't know how many, you know, Christians are like 2% minority, maybe. I don't know the actual figures, but basically in the West, the church hasn't grown much. I believe it's because the model of church that we've inherited, or the main model of church that has kind of just been around, has been basically based on two things: pastoral care and teaching, which are both internal, insular things. There are basically three other main components which propel churches and movements outwards and forwards. And those are the prophetic, which as a church I think we've been quite good on, because it gives, you know, as you hear what God is saying to a people, you know, God's heart is for society, so it propels you out. Second is evangelism, which is obviously like, you know, people carrying the gospel, the good news, as their core message, which grows the church. And the third is the apostolic. And those three things have kind of basically been not hugely involved in the history of the church, which is why it hasn't grown. Churches like our church, like River Church, have basically been pretty hot on the prophetic. And so let's continue in that. I think we've tried to do evangelism and been successful to different levels. And we've kind of dabbled in the apostolic, in that we're actually a church planting movement. But I think there's so much more to explore in that. Now, with regards to evangelism, I'm really, really encouraged at this time. And I feel really, really encouraged about 2014 and the years to come, because I think basically now we stand much more of a chance, as we have in many years, to be really, really successful in evangelism. Basically because of three things. Well, there's resources out there, amazing resources, like the Alpha Course, for starters, so maybe it's four things. But the three things are, number one, good works and community work. For years now, the church in the UK and locally have been involved in loads and loads of good works and really, really good community work, which is why, as a church, we really want to continue and push hard our community work, because it changes the view of church in the eyes of the people. But if you look at like our nation's history, when there's been huge moves of God, so like with the Salvation Army movement or the Methodist movement, when there's been huge moves, those and the huge amounts of salvations, like crazy amounts, they've come after there's been real solid, over the course of a generation, work into the community, doing things like poor man's lawyer, debt advice, and normal, you know, just loads of different kinds of community work. I can't think of different kinds of community work for some reason, even though there's tons. Name some times for community work. Food bank. Wycombe. Youth work. Caring for the elderly. Caring for children. Caring for the dying. You know, just caring for people. Like, those movements, the salvations of that happened, the mass salvations that happened off the back of real solid community work being built and established over years in time. Obviously, years are time. But you see what I'm saying? So that's point one, why I think we stand a good chance, because there's so much good community work going on. Point two is the massive emphasis now on the love of God, which is so much better than the hellfire and damnation message that was around before. And lastly, is basically the church's increasing and continuing increased understanding of the power of God. There's so much more like boldness around for people to be going, right, hey, can I pray for you about this? Or, hey, you know, let's do some treasure hunting or prophetic evangelism or healing rooms or healing on the streets. Like, there's that kind of combination of community work, love, and power. And that basically, and then you've got things like Alpha Course. That basically stands us in really, really good stead for some really, I personally believe, successful evangelism in the coming years. So there's evangelism. We're going to continue in the prophetic because there's not really much to say on that. But the apostolic, I believe, basically, we're entering now into the season of the apostolic. God is going to release, basically, and he is doing the apostolic in the UK, which is basically around two things. I think there's a Peter model of the apostolic and there's a Paul model of the apostolic. And in the New Testament, we see Paul and we see basically it's around taking the church into brand new territory. So it's about taking the gospel to a people that have never heard it. And they go there, they perform signs and wonders, and a church springs up. A church is built, and then he moves on. And it's constantly that kind of missional, I'm going to new places. That's the Pauline model. The Peter model is much more like, Peter is still totally apostolic, but he's based in Jerusalem. So he works with the existing establishment. He works with the Jewish people and brings reformation and revival and life into the existing institution that's already there. It's equally apostolic. And that is basically what we're seeing with River Church and Pioneer and the Methodist movement. It's working internally, apostolically, partnering with the Methodists to revive that institution. That's what's going on. So as I've shared before, I feel like there is that kind of sense of the Pauline apostolic for us to kind of explore in these coming years. And I've shared before about us, you know, saying I think there should be a church on every street, and there should be church in the football club, church in the rugby club, church at the youth center. And I think with kind of establishing almost kind of a good foundation of having some good community work going on at the youth center and being here, I think this is a great base to be, even though it's not guaranteed that we're going to, you know, stay here, but I personally think it's a great base to be on these foundations. I basically think there's really exciting opportunities to build on our work at the Youth and Community Centre, first and foremost. And we could look at doing a fresh expression of church there. Now, this is the first kind of thing that I'd like everyone to think about, almost kind of as a way of, you know, doing a response, is that last year, as a leadership team, we sat down and we went, we really want to see like something amazing spring up at the Youth and Community Centre. So I personally have got a real heart for it. I want to see it just to be a centre of excellence where people come and they do computer literacy classes, finance courses, parenting courses, everything, you know. Like just a thriving place where people come and they see it as a centre where they know they're going to come and they're going to be cared for and they're going to be loved. I really want to see, and I can see like a messy church. I know in Maidenhead at the moment they've started doing messy church once or maybe twice a month, I'm not sure, at the Youth and Community Centre in Larchfield, and they have 60 people come each week and it's full on. There's like a gospel preach and they pray for people and they come. It's a totally different model of church, but it's church to those people, and I could really see something spring up. But what we found is, as you saw, there's loads of stuff going on in 2013, and I really feel like actually what needs to happen is if you've basically got a heart to be involved in seeing something established at the Youth and Community Centre. I'm not saying we're going to do a church right away, but I'm saying let's get together and let's see what we can build on. And if it is some kind of fresh expression of church or some kind of Christian group, you know, let's figure out the best way forward. But if you've got a heart for that, and that's something that kind of resonates within you, yeah, you know what, actually, I want to be part of that, then I'd really like you to come and see me at the end, and we'll get a meeting together, and we'll just strategize and pray and just discuss and see what could happen. So that's the first thing. Is everyone clear on that? If you've got a heart to see something built and established at the Youth and Community Centre, then it's going to, you know, it can't be me driving it. It's going to have to be a good group of people just doing it together. Then please come and see me and we'll just, let's try and get something going. It's absolutely fantastic. It's amazing what the guys have done at River Life. And I think what the youth work that we've done over the last 3 years has been brilliant. You know, and that kind of stuff has happened. But we've got a responsibility to take that inheritance and build on it and take it to the next stage. The second thing is, with our youth work, basically, 3 years ago, I think it'd be about 3 years ago, maybe around Easter time, I stepped foot in the Marlow Youth and Community Centre and got involved in helping set up the youth work there. And when the day we took over was the day that a kid hung himself at Great Marlow School. And God said to me really clearly that day, he said, "You're supposed to be here. And you're supposed to pastor these kids. And you can just do your little bit in trying to make sure that this never happens again." So over the last 3 years, well, 2.5 years, you know, we've been doing the youth work there on Monday nights. We've got a group that meet every Monday, and there's about 40 kids that come. Dan West has set up a good group on Thursdays, and about 15 kids are coming there. Sam and Phil have worked tirelessly, and people like John Shepherd work tirelessly. You know, it's hard work, isn't it, guys? You know, just putting on the club for the kids. But, you know, it's so good to be in there. But we're kind of reaching a stage now where we're thinking, okay, so we've got this. What we're going to do with it, and I really feel like it's really important that we actually invest in it and actually take it to the next level, so we really build on it. So we're basically looking at employing Dan West as a youth worker in partnership with MCF, and that is going to be something that we're going to do in 2014 and just really look to take that on to the next level. That's something that just feels like a really good fit. Feels like a good fit for us, good fit for Dan, and it just feels like something that we're really excited about. So yeah, that's good. regarding kind of fresh expressions of church thing, last couple of things I want to say, or one thing about that, is that we are currently in discussions with the Anglicans and with the Methodist Church about exploring something in doing something in Marlow Bottom, some kind of fresh expression of church in Marlow Bottom. Dave Bull has basically said, you know, "I've got a heart to plant something in Marlow Bottom. I've got a house available and a salary available for a vicar, but I don't want to do it by myself. I want to do it in partnership with you guys and the Methodists." So we're exploring that. So it's exciting. And, you know, we want it to.
Apologies that the last 2 or 3 minutes of Dave's talk weren't recorded.